And the more I looked at it, the more I said, Harold, we should return to this passage. There's much there. This is the third time in the Bible when we read about the testimony, if you like, of the Apostle Paul. It's a story of the grace of God in his life. It's really his mini biography. It tells his story really from his birth to the time of his appearing before this particular judge. There were two judges here this day. One was Festus, the governor. The other was Agrippa, Herod Agrippa, the king. And the message was mostly to Agrippa. Agrippa was an interesting man. He was the king, but he was in the family of the Herods. There were many Herods that you read about in the Bible, and it's sometimes hard to keep them straight. I went to a Bible dictionary, and I'm not sure that there's probably 10 or 15 of them mentioned. They're all Herods because they're part of the family of Herod the Great. He was the first of the line of the Herods in the land of Israel at the time of the New Testament. Herod the Great was the one who was the great builder. He built cities, he built aqueducts, he built the temple, and he's the great, I call him the edifice man, and he was just building. But he was an extremely wicked man, and I think the Caesar, one of the Caesars who knew him, said it would be better to be Herod's hog than his son, because Herod killed his sons one after another, killed several of his wives and a whole lot of others. He was a very wicked man. And his other Herods, those who followed in his train, his children, his grandchildren, and this particular man in Acts 26, who is his great grandson, they were all pretty wicked men. Herod was an Edomite, and the Edomites despised, like their father, their birthright. You'll remember the story of Jacob and Esau and Isaac and the birthright, and you remember that Esau sold his birthright for a mess of pottage or some stew, and the scripture line goes thus: Esau despised his birthright. And the Herods, they didn't really have very much in favor of the things of God. They were a bad people. But in this particular story, Acts chapter 26, Paul gives his testimony to this wicked man. It is a testimony. We often talk in Christian circles about giving a testimony. Your testimony, if you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, is a simple story of what Jesus has done for you. It's a very powerful tool. You will tell that story over and over and over again in your life if you're going to be used of God, just as the blind man who was healed in Acts chapter 9 did. The blind man was asked lots of questions, you'll remember, and his answer went something like this. He said, whether Jesus is a sinner or not, he said, I don't know at this point. This one thing I know, I used to be blind, and now I can see. Your testimony, my testimony is the same. I used to be a stranger to God in his mercy, and the Lord in his mercy reached out and saved me. And now I'm a different person. And this is what happened. This is why it happened. Jesus Christ is real. He is the Lord and he's the Savior. He is the coming judge. And he is the one that you and I must believe. So what we have here in Acts 26 is Paul's testimony before Agrippa, his testimony as to what the Lord had done for him. And it's so important, he told it over and over and over again. And I think if you went to Thessalonica or to Colossae or to one of the other cities, you'd find that he told that testimony there many, many times. And so what will we learn today? Number one, we'll learn a lot about Paul's testimony. We'll learn about the message to Herod Agrippa, but we'll also learn a little bit about a testimony. And you and I should each prepare a testimony so that we can clearly, concisely, and in an explanatory way, explain what it was that God has done for us and what he could do for others. So back now to Acts chapter 26. We'll read a lot. We will comment as we go, and we'll just see what the Lord will do for us this morning. Acts chapter 26, and we'll start reading in verse 1. It says, "Then Agrippa said to Paul, 'Thou art permitted to speak for thyself.'" In other words, Paul was brought before Agrippa, who was the judge, and he was there to tell Paul what would be next in his appearance. He'd been taken captive in Jerusalem. He was now down at Caesarea Philippi, and Agrippa was requested to hear his case. And so Paul is speaking to this King Agrippa and saying, "Paul, you're able to speak for yourself." Then verse 1 goes on, "Then Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself." He says, "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all things where I am accused of the Jews, especially because I knew thee and know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore, I beseech thee to hear me patiently." He said, "I'm happy to speak to you as the judge. Frankly, I think if I had been him, I might have been scared silly. I might have said, this man is not a very good judge. He comes from a bad lot, a bad family, and all the Herods were bad men and opposed to the gospel." And Paul says, "I'm happy to speak to you in part because I know that you understand a lot of these things." And it is true that Herod, having grown up in the land of Israel, understood much about the goings on of the work of God. The other side of the coin is, he didn't say, "You're a really bad man, and I'm going to tear you apart." He simply said, "I'm going to tell you the grace of God." Great compassion, great understanding on the part of the Apostle Paul, because he probably could have had something else to say. He said, "Herod, I'm going to tell you about the goodness of God." What a wonderful way to start a message. He says in verse 4, "My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among my own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify, that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes instantly, serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? Agrippa, this is the central issue. God is going to raise the dead. He did raise the dead. He's going to raise the dead. What is the central issue that we as Christians present to the world? It is Jesus rose from the dead. Therefore, he is king. Therefore, he is boss. Therefore, his saviorhood is valid. Therefore, he will stand as judge, and that is inevitable. Sooner or later, we will all stand before God the judge. And Paul says, I'm happy to tell you that. And frankly, this whole question of the resurrection, you know, it's not a new thing. It's not a difficult thing. As a matter of fact, when the Lord Jesus Christ was preaching, he said to Peter one day, "Who do men say that you are? That I, the Son of Man, am. And Peter said, "Well, some say you're Elijah. Some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you're one of the prophets." They were all saying, "God has raised the dead." Herod's uncle, I guess it would have been, was the Herod who put the Lord Jesus Christ to death and killed John the Baptist. And you'll remember after John the Baptist died that Herod said, "Jesus is John the Baptist raised to life again." The resurrection of the dead is not a strange, unsubstantiated phenomenon. It's something that the Bible is full of, and it is something that the opposers of the gospel recognize. One day, God will raise the dead. Agrippa, Paul is saying, are you prepared for the day when God will raise the dead? Then verse 9, Paul says, "I verily thought within myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme, being exceedingly mad against them. I persecuted them even to strange cities." How do you think that would have sat in the heart of Agrippa? Probably said, my family has been opposed to the gospel all down through these years too. You said yes to the death of many of the people of God. And frankly, my family did the same thing. Herod, who was alive when Jesus was put to death, he consented to the death. And the other Herod that followed after him, my father, he put James to death. And the Herod the Great, he put all the children in Bethlehem to death. We've got a long history in our family of being opposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul says, that's the way I was. Then he goes on and he says in verse 12, he says, "Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks.' And I said, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And he said, 'I'm Jesus, whom you persecute.'" Again, Herod, listening to this, Agrippa would have said to himself, that's very interesting. Paul saw a light. Paul heard a voice. Paul had to acknowledge that he was kicking against the pricks. And Herod probably said to himself, I saw the light. I've been associated with the work of God here in Israel all my life. And I know a little bit about the light. He said, my great-grandfather, Herod, was visited one day by some wise men who came from the east. And they said, where is he who is born king of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Paul saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun. Herod's great-grandfather heard about the light from heaven, which drew wise men from the east following the star all the way to Bethlehem. And his great-grandfather believed it so much he killed all the children, all the boys in Bethlehem. Herod saw the light. Paul said that he heard voices. They all saw the light. They all heard the voices. All who were traveling with Paul, they all fell to the ground. But we know that they didn't hear the voice clearly. Those who were with him certainly heard, but what they heard was a noise. They didn't hear clearly the voice as we would understand it when we read the other stories of Paul's testimony. But Herod realized that there were voices. He'd heard the voices of the preachers. He'd heard the voice of John the Baptist. He'd heard the voice of Peter, James, John, Stephen, the others. He'd heard. He knew the voices. And the next line that Paul comes out with from the Lord is, Paul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And the pricks are the goads that drive the oxen forward. And they basically say, the pricks say to the oxen, you're not working the way you should. The spurs on the horses say to the horse, you're not running as fast as you know you should. And the pricks from the Lord are pricks to the conscience, which say, you're not handling the issues of life the way you should. And here's Agrippa, and he's listening to the story. And he says, I'm not handling things the way I should either. This is a testimony from Paul to Agrippa, but it's parallel to the testimony of the Lord to each of us. We've all seen the light of God. We've all heard voices, and we've all had our consciences pricked. The question is, what are you going to do about it? And so Paul had his conscience pricked, and he's saying to himself, Paul says, what am I going to do? And Agrippa is going to have to answer the same question. What am I going to do about it? It's interesting that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he spoke to Paul, didn't just say, here's the light, here's a voice, and you're going to stop persecuting me. But he goes on in verse 16, quite a conversation that the Lord had with Paul this day. Paul says, I want you to know verse 16, Jesus said to me, rise, stand upon your feet. I've appeared unto you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of those things that you have seen and of those things in the which I will appear to you, delivering you from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I now send you. And then verse 18, this is your great commission, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive this forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. That's a marvelous message. What was it that Paul was to preach? And he was to preach seven things that were going to happen to people, and they're reminiscent of the seven things that happened to Paul. And then we're going to find out how it all comes to be. Paul, this is what you're going to preach. Back again to verse 18. Paul, you go, you preach, open the eyes of those who do not clearly see. That's why we preach the gospel at 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel. We want people to have their eyes open to what God has done. Most of the world walks in darkness. We had some thoughts on that in our earlier meeting this morning. Most of the world don't understand about the truth of God. And it could be Herod Agrippa, that your eyes have been closed, but God wants to open your eyes. I think if I'd been Herod at this point, I would be very afraid. I would have said, you know, our family has been very, very bold against God and against the gospel. Maybe God is going to reach down now and judge me. And Paul says to him, my message to you is, open your eyes, Agrippa. Number two, God wants to turn you from the power of darkness to light. How gracious is God? This is a message of grace to this wicked King Agrippa, who behaved like his parents before him, and to turn them from the power of Satan unto God. Why do we get so excited about the gospel? That's absolutely wonderful. The world is living under the power of Satan. If you don't believe it, just open your eyes, look around at all the sin that is so prevalent in the world, of all the blindness that is so prevalent in the world. People trying to say what is right and what is wrong, and they're going about under the power of Satan rather than God. What's it all here for? That they may receive forgiveness of sins. Can you think of a better message to tell people? Your sins can be forgiven. Agrippa says, what? The sins of my family can be forgiven. My sins can be forgiven. That's what it's all about. And all of us have failed one way or another. That's a terrible thing. And we're embarrassed by it. But what a wonderful thing to know that our sins can be forgiven. And we rejoice this morning, not because we're marvelous people. We rejoice because our sins are forgiven. My sins are gone. My sins are gone. They are buried way down deep in the sea. Yippee! What a marvelous message. And what happens after that? We receive inheritance among those who are sanctified. Do we deserve a good inheritance? No. What do I deserve? I deserve eternal punishment for my sins. What's the Lord offer me? Eternal inheritance among those who are sanctified? If this isn't good news, pray tell, what would be good news? If you were Herod listening to this, what would you say? You say, Paul, is this really true? Is God this good? Can I enter into this? What do you and I say this morning? We either say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. I trusted you as my Savior and I rejoice in it. Or we say, Lord, I want this. I want these blessings too. If they can be extended even to a man like Agrippa, if they were expended originally to the wicked man, the Apostle Paul, how much more could they be extended to me, Lord? Would you please give them to me? How do I get them? And the last line of verse 18 is, by faith that is in me, you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you get faith. You get all these blessings. You got them again. Your eyes are open. You're turned from darkness. You're turned to light. You're turned from the power of Satan. You're turned to God. You receive the forgiveness of sins. You get inheritance among them that are sanctified. How do you get it? All you have to do is believe in Jesus. Agrippa, are you listening? Did you get it? It's absolutely marvelous, Agrippa. Verse 19, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. That makes sense? few were on the road to Damascus that day, and there was a light that shone from heaven, brighter than the sun, and a voice that spoke to you. And you and everybody with you were thrown off your donkeys, your horses, your feet, and you were lying flat on the ground. And the voice said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Paul says, I'm not going to be disobedient to this. Who are you, Lord? He said. Agrippa, what are you going to do with the heavenly vision that was given to you? You've known about the heavenly vision for generations, Agrippa. Oh, it's true. Your great grandfather, way back almost 2,000 years, Esau, he despised his birthright. You're going to despise your birthright just because you're an Edomite? You're going to despise your birthright because you had a wicked great grandfather and your family, the Herods, all wicked people? You're going to despise the birthright? You're going to believe it? Paul says, I was a wicked man. I was killing the Christians, but I was not going to be disobedient to the heavenly vision. And if you were Agrippa, you would probably say, I won't be disobedient to the heavenly vision either. And we're not sure who you are this morning, but if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, would you say in your heart, I don't want to be disobedient to the heavenly vision which God allowed me to have? We've got the Bible. We've seen the light of the glory of God in all the world around us. We look into the heavens and we realize the heavens declare the glory of God. There is a God. There's a God who loves us. The Lord who loves us came to the earth in the form of Jesus Christ. He died for our sins. He rose again the third day. He's gone into heaven. He's coming back. He will be King and Lord and Judge of all. How foolish to be disobedient to the heavenly vision. Verse 20 goes on and says, but showed first unto them of Damascus and Jerusalem throughout all the coasts of Judea and into the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do the works meet for repentance. Is that not what we're supposed to do? We've seen the heavenly vision. We responded to it. Why do we preach every Sunday morning? Why do we preach during the week? On and on and on. Because we don't want to be disobedient to this heavenly vision. What do we preach? We preach repentance. Agrippa, that's what you've got to do. We preach, bring forth fruits meet for repentance. That's what Paul did. That's what Agrippa should do. And then verse 21 says, for these causes, the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. How bad a man was Paul? Paul wasn't a bad man. Paul was a good man. He turned from being a bad man to being a good man. And because he turned from being a bad man to being a good man, that's why they caught him in the temple and they wanted to kill him. Agrippa, do you really think, Paul said, that I am worthy of death? I used to be a bad man. Now I'm a good man. I used to punish them for saying the truth. Now I live the truth. Now I preach the truth. Would you want to kill me for that, Agrippa? Would you put me in prison for that? That's what the Jews did. For these causes, the Jews caught me and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue this day witnessing both the small and great, saying none other than that which the prophets and Moses did say would come. Did the Lord deliver him? It says, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. Did he get help from God? Yes. Did they try to kill him often? Yes. Did he continue preaching? Yes. What was he doing this day? Preaching. To whom? But to the kind of person who killed the other Christians. Did he obtain help of God? Sure he did. Why was he still here? Agrippa, why was it that your family killed so many others of the Christian messengers? You didn't kill me. I obtained help of God. The proof that I obtained help of God is that I'm right here, Agrippa. Agrippa, what are you going to do? And you can imagine that if you were Agrippa, you'd be sitting in your chair. Do you think at some point you might begin to squirm? And you'd say, what is going on? This is amazing. And then he says, Agrippa, all I'm doing is preaching what's in that Bible. You know what's in the Bible. What did he preach? Verse 23, that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spoke for himself, Festus with a loud voice said, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning has made you mad. And of course, it wasn't true at all, and Festus didn't understand. Verse 25, but Paul said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but I speak forth the words of truth and soberness, for the king Agrippa knoweth of these things, before whom I also speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this king, for this thing is not done in a corner. Paul looks Agrippa square in the eye and says to him, Agrippa, you understand all these things. You know these things. And Agrippa didn't say, no, I don't understand it. And Agrippa didn't say, no, it's all news to me. And Agrippa didn't say, you're crazy, Paul. And Agrippa didn't say, you're worthy of death. Agrippa was honest enough to acknowledge that what Paul was saying was true. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? Verse 27. Then he says, I know you agree. I know that you believe, Agrippa. Agrippa didn't say, I don't believe the prophets. Herod the Great believed the prophets. That's why he killed all the children around Bethlehem, all the boys around Bethlehem. He believed the prophets. What was wrong with Agrippa? Did he understand? Yes. Had he seen the light? Yes. Had he heard the voices? Yes. Was he kicking against the pricks? Yes. Was it hard for him to kick against the pricks? Yes. Did he agree with what Paul was saying? He didn't disagree. Did he believe the prophets? Paul said he did, and he didn't disagree. Verse 28, then Agrippa said to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Is that one of the saddest lines in the Bible? Can you imagine coming so close to the glorious forgiveness of God that Paul obtained? To the glorious forgiveness of God that Paul was offering to Agrippa? Can you imagine coming so close? And being disobedient to the heavenly vision? That's the difference between Paul and Agrippa. They both saw, they both knew, they both despised the truths of God originally. One responded to the heavenly vision, the other knew it was true and didn't respond. That's the great issue in the world today, isn't it? The truth of God is not unknown. The truth of God could be sought out by those who would choose to, but you see, they don't want to be obedient to the heavenly vision. Well, our time is gone. What a terrible way to end this wonderful story. Agrippa said no. We have a hymn in our hymn book. I'm just going to read the verses to you. They're taken, it's a Philip Bliss, a P.P. Bliss hymn, taken from this story, I believe, the movement of the story and the line, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Let me just read the words of the hymn to you. Almost persuaded now to believe. Almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, "Go, Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day on thee I'll call." And we never read that Agrippa called on God. Almost persuaded, come, come today, almost persuaded, turn not away. Jesus invites you here. Angels are lingering near. Prayers rise from hearts so dear. O wanderer, come, that's the message today. Almost persuaded, harvest is past. Almost persuaded, doom comes at last. Almost cannot avail. Almost is but to fail. Sad, sad, that bitter wail. Almost, but lost. Lord, we want to thank you for these stories in the Bible. They're real. They're powerful. They're compelling. And we don't all have to believe. And what distresses us so much is that there are still in the world today so many, like Agrippa, who know it's all true and will not say yes to Jesus, will not come in faith to receive his forgiveness. Judas knew it all. Sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. All kinds of people in the world today know it and turn for Jesus for far lesser reward than that. Lord, it's a sobering message. It's the great message at the end of the book of Acts. We just pray, Lord, that each one today we'll take this message seriously. Hallelujah. We praise you for what you did for the Apostle Paul. You could have done the same thing for Agrippa. Lord, would you please reach out and do it for each of us? If there's any listening this morning, Lord, we pray that they will say, "I don't want to be like Agrippa. I want to be like Paul. I want the blessings of God. I want forgiveness of sins and an inheritance amongst those who are sanctified." Lord, by faith in Jesus, I come this morning. I just say, Lord Jesus, would you save me? We thank you for this wonderful message, not a message of condemnation, but a message of liberty for all who will trust. Bless, we pray, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.